Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, 1 million new voters have switched to a certain political party. I'll let you guess which one, as 1 million people flock to a new political home. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support, and get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. You guys can support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support and come to our Student Action Summit at tpusa.com/SAS. Pete Hegseth, we have Greg Gutfeld, Josh Hawley, Ted Cruz, Kaylee McEnany, and brought to you by Turning Point Action, Ron DeSantis, and President Trump. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. You are living through a once-in-a-generation political realignment. I believe it could be a once-in-a-hundred-year political realignment. We talked about this in great detail in a previous monologue and dialogue. With Myra Flores winning in South Texas, 84% Hispanic district, the second most Hispanic district in the country, we saw a district that was once Democrat plus 25, now go plus R plus Republican by 5 points. This country is far more conservative than it is represented politically. It's far more conservative than is reflected in our cultural institutions. And there is now a remarkable story that came out today from the Associated Press that, believe it or not, is actually really well written. I got a couple things that I think they misword here and that are misleading. But this right here is a 5-alarm fire for the Democrats. More than 1 million voters switch to Republican Party in warning for Democrats. Associated Press, quote, "A political shift is beginning to take hold across America as tens of thousands of suburban swing voters who helped fuel the Democrat Party's gains in recent years are becoming Republicans. More than 1 million voters across 43 states have switched to the Republican Party over the last year, according to the voter registration data analyzed by the Associated Press. The previously unreported number reflects a phenomenon that is playing out in virtually every region of the country. Democrat and Republican states, along with cities and small towns, in the small period Joe Biden replaced Donald Trump. But nowhere is that shift more pronounced and dangerous for Democrats than in the suburbs, where well-educated swing voters who turned out against Trump's Republican Party in recent years appear to be swinging back. Over the last year, far more people are switching to Republican across suburban counties from Denver to Atlanta and Pittsburgh to Cleveland. Republicans also gained ground in areas around medium-sized cities such as Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Raleigh, North Carolina, Augusta, Georgia, and Des Moines, Iowa, in every possible region imaginable. The Democrats are hemorrhaging." There's one interesting kind of quote here from Colorado. I've said for quite some time, Colorado is in play, especially with the movement of Hispanics. Ben Smith, who lives in suburban Laramie County, Colorado, north of Denver, said he reluctantly registered as a Republican earlier in the year because of increasing concerns about the Democrats' support in some localities for mandatory COVID-19 vaccines and the party's inability to quell violent crime and its frequent focus on racial justice. He says this is more of a rejection of the left than embracing the right. I think that's perfectly fair. I think the Republican Party still has a lot more to offer that will get people to come to you, not just run from the Democrats. I don't think the Associated Press is that far off. And the contrast has never been more clear. The contrast is so remarkable. For example, The more Democrats and members of the media talk like this, the nastier they become. This is a good rule of politics. I know this is something that the left doesn't understand. No one wants to vote for nasty people. Play cut 32.
Well, you better hope that they don't come for you, Clarence, and say you should not be married to your wife, who happens to be white, because they will move back. And you better hope that nobody says, you know, well, you're not in the Constitution. You're back to being a quarter
We're
of a person.
We're back to the 50s.
Because that's not going to work either.
You better hope they don't come for you, Clarence Thomas, and say you should not be married to your wife who happens to be white. What a nasty thing to say. I mean, she's a total demagogue. It's Whoopi Goldberg. And the contrast is now a Republican Party that is diverse, that is young, that is optimistic, that is forward-thinking, that is positive, contrasted with Myra Flores, mother of four, Mexican-born, naturalized American citizen, came here legally, pro-life, pro-God, pro-family, pro-parents' rights, drives Pelosi nuts. Play cut 35.
This was a big win, not only for South Texas, because we are pro-life, somos pro-vida, but it's also a big win for our country. If we want to see real change in bringing crime down, we need to raise a generation to respect life in the wound.
While Republicans are focused on gas prices, inflation, securing the southern border, and quite honestly, moderate judicial interpretations to restore states' rights and a constitutional reset, AOC wants to go impeach Supreme Court justices. AOC said that, she said, I believe lying under oath is an impeachable offense, and violating federal law and not disclosing income from political organizations, as Clarence Thomas did, is potentially a impeachable offense. What you are seeing, this AP article, more than 1 million voters switched to GOP in warning for Dems. And so just so you guys understand, 630,000 people became Democrats, but a million people became Republicans. So it's a plus 400,000 net benefit Republicans. But by the way, most people don't bother to change their party registration, just so we're clear. Most people would just stay registered as Democrat and then vote Republican. The fact that this is happening in the voter registration tallies is significant and profound. In Florida, Republicans captured 58% of party switchers during the last years, but over the last year, they command 70%. And in Pennsylvania, Republicans went from 58% of party switchers to 63% of party switchers. The AP found that the Republican advantage was larger in suburban fringe counties based on classifications from the Center for Disease Control compared to smaller towns and counties. Republicans boosted their share of party changers in 168 of 235 suburban counties. 72%. That means over the last year compared with the last years of the Trump era. These include suburban counties in Georgia, Iowa, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Texas, Ohio, Virginia, and Washington State. Republicans also gained more ground in further out suburban counties, which the CDC lumps into medium-sized cities called medium metro. They range from suburban counties such as North Denver, Los Angeles like Ventura, and Santa Barbara in California. The Republican advantage was nearly universal, but it was stronger in some places than others. Goes on, the piece says, quote, for this one voter that made her switch, who was a Democrat up until 2016, she said there was not a single aha moment that convinced her to switch. But by 2020, she said the Democrat Party had left her behind. Quote, the party itself is no longer Democrat. It's progressive socialism. She said, specifically condemning Biden's plan to eliminate billions of dollars in student loan debt. Fascinating. You are living through a great realignment. It turns out a vast majority of people do not want puberty blockers given to 12-year-olds. They don't believe men can become pregnant. They don't believe gender is a choice. And they don't believe in federalizing or nationalizing the most controversial or intimate decisions. Their regime is collapsing. And there are a million new people who are Republicans because of it. Hey, everybody. As you know, our friend Mike Lindell has an amazing passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Nope. You know, Mike, he's got lots of energy. He's done it again by introducing his My Slippers. For a limited time, you'll only save $90 on a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last, so order now. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop it. The My Slippers are designed to wear indoor and out all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help protect fatigue. Made with quality leather suede. I love Mike Lindell. I know you do too. Support him and get something comfortable in return. Call 800-875-0425. Use promo code Kirk. Or just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code Kirk. This offer will not last long, so order now with promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Elizabeth Warren has some comments about packing the Supreme Court as the news comes forward that Democrats are losing the voter registration battle in the suburbs. Play cut 12.
This court has lost legitimacy. They have burned whatever legitimacy they may still have had after their gun decision, after their voting decision, after their union decision. They just took the last of it and set a torch to it with the Roe versus Wade opinion. I believe we need to get some confidence back in our court, and that means we need more justices on the United States Supreme Court.
Yeah, pack the courts, common tactic of South American revolutionary communists. Few people know that Venezuela, this is what Venezuela did, is they had an independent judiciary, I put in quotes, and they started packing the court. They expanded the amount of people they have on the Supreme Court, and they put people on there to allow the Communist Party, run by Chavez at the time, now Maduro, to be able to do whatever he wanted to do. Elizabeth Warren is getting impatient. You see, the whole idea of an independent judiciary is supposed to slow down the totalitarian impulses of a centralized government. An independent judiciary is supposed to say stop, no, wrong, bad. And that's exactly what the U.S. Supreme Court did. You see, what really drives the Democrats nuts is that they rested on their laurels of an unconstitutional decision for decades, thinking that just because the Supreme Court ruled a certain way and tried to nationalize and create a new right where it didn't exist in the United States Constitution, that no one would go revisit that. And Elizabeth Warren, you could tell, is angry. She's upset. I mean, a lot of people on the left are upset over this. Now, it does make you wonder, why are they so focused on this? Well, for example, S.C. Cupp, who used to actually be a very interesting center-right commentator who has descended into just kind of a typical person on CNN, she says, it's hard to imagine the Republican Party surviving this. I think it's the opposite. I think a vast majority of Americans are okay with states' rights. I fully admit states like Colorado and California and New York are more pro-abortion than pro-life. I know pockets of Colorado are super pro-life. But states like Idaho, Wyoming, and Missouri are overwhelmingly pro-life. Play cut two of S.C. Cupp.
The question that Brianna asked, I think, is the right one. It's sort of, now what? What are... Now that anti-abortion activists got what they wanted, right, which is to overturn Roe versus Wade, what happens now politically, do you think?
It's hard to imagine the Republican Party surviving this. Between anti-abortion, anti-LGBTQ, book banning, anti-democracy, I mean, add all of the regressive bullshit to this, add it all together, and I don't know who's left in the future, in future generations, to be drawn to this party.
They really don't get outside of their bubble much, do they? I think S.C. Cupp has children. I don't know if she does or not. I'm just guessing. I don't know. I don't know if the other... I can't imagine she would be okay with this agenda going after her children. Does she not see? Who else is there left? S.C. Cupp? How about the million new people that have just registered to be Republican? What you call anti-LGBT, you know what parents call? Not having six-year-olds learn about lesbian sex. That's a good start. More than 1 million voters switched to the Republican Party, and the opposite is happening on CNN. They say, I don't know how the Republican Party is going to survive this. Now, the Republican Party, driven by the conservative movement, because I'm not even a registered Republican, I'm a registered independent, because of how upset I was recently about the Republican Party's betrayal of some core values, such as sending money to Ukraine while our own country withers away at the vine. But I'm very happy about this. I'm happy about this because within the Republican Party, it's increasingly becoming a people-centered party and a principled party. She doesn't see how the Republican Party is going to survive this. The only way I could agree with her is the Republican Party is going to grow and thrive because of this. You know, one of the states that is becoming more conservative and has become more conservative in recent years, and it also is echoed in this piece by the Associated Press, is Iowa. The great state of Iowa. I grew up in Illinois, not far from Iowa. And Iowa had went from a battleground state to almost a tilting blue state to now a deep red state, largely because of social issues and because of how the left has completely lost connection with their voters. I can't think of a better guest to help us talk about the victory and to celebrate the victory of Roe versus Wade being overturned than Bob Vanderplaats. Bob, welcome to the program.
Good to be with you, Charlie. Thanks for having me on.
So, Bob, just your initial reaction. You've been fighting for decades for the reversal and the overturning of Roe versus Wade, probably longer than I have been alive. I was told by people for years that it would never happen and that we have to keep our expectations low. Talk about the significance about this and how multiple generations of workers and prayer warriors helped deliver this victory.
Well, Charlie, it was huge. And first of all, it's a nice way of telling me I'm old, but it is true. We have been praying for a long time, activating for a long time, and hoping that one day we would see all of America embrace a culture of life. And that would begin by the overturn of Roe v. Wade. And so Friday on June 24 is a little bit like an out-of-body experience that this is really happening.
It's almost
a pinch yourself. And right away from our governor to many others texting me, just praise God that this is happening. And I'm glad I got to be on this side where I got to see it. Charlie, I think of so many who have gone before me, who have fought hard, gave of their resources, prayed like crazy, and they just never got to see this day, not knowing that this day would ever come to be. But we're definitely celebrating today that it did happen.
Yeah, so talk just about the many kind of different titans that pushed for this. Billy Graham, Rush Limbaugh. But also, I mean, 10 years ago, this looked like it was out of reach. The court was becoming wildly liberal because of the additions of Sotomayor and Kagan. The idea of reversing Roe seemed to be radical and fringe. And 10 years later, now we have a completely remade court. What do you really identify as the main reason this last decade has really kind of restored constitutional sanity and moral clarity to the court?
Well, I think a couple of things, and one, not to over-spiritualize it, but I think there's a sovereign hand in all of this. What we say often here, Charlie, at the family leader, or God creates it, nature reveals it, and good science will always back it up. And what we've seen with the evolvement of science is that science is backing up that little girl in that mother's womb, she's a baby. Think DNA. And I think more and more people are coming to grips. That's not fetal tissue. That's not just some blob. That's an actual baby that we can do surgery on inside of the womb. So it has to be a separate person. But then two is when you take a look at it, first of all, U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley, he prevented Barack Obama from appointing Garland to the Supreme
That's
Court
exactly
bench, saying
right.
We're going to wait for an election to happen.
That's true.
And then a guy that was one of the most unlikely candidates of all time, Donald Trump, not only wins election, but then he follows through on what he said he's going to do. He appoints constitutional judges who are faithful to the Constitution. And then you look at Ginsburg, the progressive titan, and she just hangs on a little bit too long until she couldn't hang on any longer. And that gave Trump another opening to appoint a Supreme Court justice. I don't think that all those things just happen or by happenstance. I think there's a sovereign hand in a lot of that.
I mean, I totally agree. And it was the faithful that continued to fast and pray, that continued to fight, that allowed us to get this victory. So let me ask you, Bob, right now, there's a lot of kind of chatter as we end this month that your idea is to call this Life Month. I think that's great. I think it's terrific. And a lot of parents that otherwise would have kind of not really cared about these issues are kind of refocusing on these LGBTQIA+ whatever, kind of the alphabet mafia issues, where they're now deeply concerned that their children are being exposed to hyper-radical, quasi-pornographic material when they're 5, 6, 7, and 8. This is something that your organization, the Family Leader, has been talking about for quite a while, but it seems like this has now really hit the mainstream. Can you talk about how widespread some of this quasi-pornographic or outwardly pornographic curriculum actually is in our schools and why parents need to be aware of it?
Well, it definitely is. As a matter of fact, it's everywhere. You think, well, it might just be the major metropolitan areas. We can tell you in the state of Iowa, that's not true. It's in a lot of the small school districts as well. And what happens is that this extreme agenda has even outkicked their own coverage. They've gotten more extreme than you can imagine. All the way we go back to the abortion issue, Charlie. And it's Biden, Pelosi, Kamala Harris, the squad who want abortion up to demand to the time of birth. And America's saying, you know, that is not us. Exposing our children to things in the school library that are just pornographic.
Yes.
Drag queen shows, drag queen hour. Then you take a look at what's happening at June Pride Month and you see the pictures and the videos like from Seattle, Washington. There's a part of me that's saying, have we lost our ever-loving mind on this stuff, that we'd expose our kids to these type of things?
I'm going to play some tape here that kind of reinforces that right here. I want to make sure I find it. Yeah. So cut 7 is the Boy Scouts marching at the Seattle Pride Parade, and just a couple feet ahead of them are nude gay demonstrators, I guess. Play cut 7. That is the Boy Scouts of America walking down the streets with the pride flags in the Seattle Pride Parade. And so what's really bothering me about this, Bob, and I was naive enough 5 or 6 years ago, we've talked about this in great detail, to kind of believe in the promise of live and let live, right? That who am I to kind of insert myself, and I might not approve of this, but you know, you guys do your thing and we do our things. That's not even close to being true, is it? It's actually almost kind of like an imperial conquest of values where they have to now go after children. And I mean, these are fully nude men feet away from your children. And there's even more awful clips we could play and the drag queen thing. You know, and feel free to engage kind of spiritual depth here, Bob. What do you believe is the driving force for this? Because it's really confusing parents.
Well, I think the clip you showed first, Charlie, what that is showing is forced indoctrination. You know, the Boy Scouts used to be all about a patriotism, a belief in a higher being. And today it's just forced indoctrination. So when you see them carrying the rainbow flags, to me, it's disturbing at minimum to see the nude bikers, the men who are nude bikers in that parade. It's like, how would anybody allow that to happen? And then to see continued footage of them in a splash park. But when you go back to, Charlie, you talk about the spiritual piece to this. Genesis 1 verse 27 talks about we're made in God's image, male and female. In Matthew, Jesus says that God created them male and female, and what he has put together, no man, no court, no anybody should put asunder to separate. And what has happened is that if the image of God is revealed in us being male and female, there's no wonder why Satan would take that away, would want to take away that image, that creation. And if our fullness of God would be revealed in that marriage of a male and a female coming together, that's why Satan deposes that so much, or opposes that so much. So to me, that is the spiritual part of this. There's nothing new under the sun. Satan just has a different tactic. And when that happens, you will find chaos and you'll find division in a culture when you not only walk away from the heart of God, but as you can see with that clip you just played, we are sprinting away from the heart of God.
Yeah, and a nation that does that will not be blessed. It's just that clear. And so in closing here, for parents that are confused and they kind of want to navigate these things, is there a resource bank? I know your organization does a lot of good work here. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, probably the best resource we would say, we believe the power is in the states. And so they can come to thefamilyleader.com and contact us there. We provide them any resources that we can get our hands on. But if they're from a different state than Iowa, we can connect them to a peer in one of our states, in one of the states across the country, whether it be the Daniel Impact states or be the Family Policy Alliance states. And even beyond that, as you all know, Charlie, we have a robust church network in all these states. We could get them to a church in their community that is preaching the truth. They're not just a social club of the cross, but they are actually preaching the truth and the full comprehensive nature of the gospel.
Amen. Well said. Bob, thank you so much for joining us. Look forward to seeing you in Wisconsin soon. Are you going back this year?
I can't do it this year. We have our leadership summit, but I'm going to miss you. Otherwise, I would have been there.
That's right. You have Tucker Carlson at your deal. That's right. That's a big deal. So,
all right.
Thank you. Thanks, Bob. See you soon.
Thank you, Charlie. God bless.
Thanks. Appreciate it. In a interesting turn of events, abortion advocates are threatening a sex strike. They say, if you're a man who won't get a vasectomy, even though it's reversible, and you're not on the streets fighting for my rights, you don't deserve to have sex from me. Breonna Campbell told the New York Post. So, women across America are saying that they are going to have a sex strike, and they're not going to have sex with men because of what happened with Roe versus Wade. Says this, women of America take the pledge. Because SCOTUS overturned Roe v. Wade, we cannot take the risk of an unintended pregnancy. Whoa, hold on a second. I thought men could also get pregnant. So what's that all about? So all of a sudden, we now know what a woman is, right? So now a woman is a easily definable category of the human species. Are we back to that now? We cannot take the risk of an unintended pregnancy. Therefore, we will not have sex with any man, including our husbands, unless we are trying to become pregnant. Oh, wait, so you'll have sex with women, though. That's kind of weird. You notice they don't say we'll have no sex. There's no sex with any man. Well, look, if in a bizarre turn of events post-Roe, we are now seeing the abstinence movement kind of come back in the mainstream, then God bless America. If we are now seeing pro-abortion fanatics now say that we're not going to have sex anymore and we're going to save ourselves for marriage, well, then maybe you don't need the pill. You can do it. Because we've always been told, like, oh, no, we must have abortion because having immediate sex is like animal instinct and we can't control ourselves. So, well, actually, you can control yourself. You now want abortion so bad that you can withhold sex from other people. This one woman raged on Twitter. I live in New York, and I am double furious with the Supreme Court. I want to find people who are coordinating a mass sex strike. That is our power. Women have the power here. No more sex until abortion rights are federal law. All right. And you could still get abortions in New York, but your terms are acceptable, sex strike people. Like, sure, if you're now not going to have widespread hookup culture, if the death of hookup culture will be super angry women, they're like, I'm not going to hook up because I can't have abortions and therefore I want hookup culture to die. No resistance from us. Green Day star Billy Joe Armstrong, otherwise known as an American idiot, claims he'll renounce the U.S. citizenship after SCOTUS Roe ruling. Well, I guess you can let me know when September ends, when Billy Joe Armstrong actually does leave. America's improving at every single turn. And look, America's the greatest nation ever to exist in the history of the world. You know how and why America's the greatest nation? America is so great because even those who hate it refuse to leave. And look, this is all just kind of endless kind of exercises in wannabe narcissism. Like, look at me. I hate America. Oh, really? You still own your property in Beverly Hills? No, I'm going to Canada. No, you're not. We would have played the clip from Green Day. There's too many swear words. They were a big deal growing up. Yeah, why don't they ever move to Mexico? They're racist. Got a thought here from one of our listeners, which is, Charlie, why is it the left is so insistent on abortion? Why don't they use other forms of birth control? Good question. It seems like they're just kind of cutting in line. The abstinence trend, I fully and completely support. Jack Posobiec had the best of all the commentary over the weekend. I want to make sure I get it right. It was very spicy. he puts so much on Telegram. Okay, he says, ladies, consider this. It's like OnlyFans, but with one customer for the rest of your life who provides you with free lodging, meals, income, healthcare, personal vehicle, and a sizable clothing allowance. It's called marriage. You'll be a happier person. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. If this restores monogamous relationships and people waiting till they for marriage, praise God, your terms are acceptable. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.